We are at the start of a brand new year. It's January 10th, 2016. It's a brand new year. Perhaps some of you had a good 2015. Maybe you received some pleasant surprises last year. Maybe you received some unexpected good news. Maybe you got some reconciled relationships. But how many here tonight are glad that 2015 is over? Anybody? All right. Maybe it was a rough year for some of you, man. Maybe you may have said and done some things you now regret. I don't know what happened to you in 2015, but I've got some good news for you tonight. You know, we often hear messages about forgiving others of their offenses against us. And those messages are good and well. I preach many of those messages. And you might hear some of those messages here this month, forgiving others their offenses against us, releasing them of the debt that we feel that they owe us. But this month's study is starting with a clean slate. Starting with a clean slate. Say it with me. Starting with a clean slate. So tonight I'm going to talk with you about forgiving yourself of the offenses you may have committed against others in 2015. Forgiving yourself of the offenses you may have committed against others in the last year. I'm just going to give you some examples here. Maybe you abused someone of the opposite sex, and maybe that person left you. Maybe that person divorced you. Or maybe you shoplifted on occasion this past year from retail stores. Maybe you lied to your boss. Or maybe you looked down upon and mocked God's word. I don't know what it is. Maybe God was speaking to you to reach out to somebody who needed your help. You had the means. They needed your help. You didn't reach out. And maybe that person slipped into eternity. I don't know what you're dealing with tonight. And hence, maybe tonight you're living in a world of regrets. How many have ever been there? Living with some regret. I would have, I should have, I could have. Maybe you're living tonight in the world of I would have, I should have, I could have. I should have reached out to that person before they slipped into eternity. I should have treated that lady right so she didn't leave me. You know, I should not have lied to my boss, so forth and so on. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you continue to live in this world of I would have, I should have, I could have, you are placing yourself in a jail cell called the past. Let me say it again. If you continue to live in this world of regret, in this world of I would have, I should have, I could have, you're placing yourself in a cell called the past. And if you keep yourself in this cell called the past, you won't go forward with the greater thing God has for your life. You're going to be stuck in the past. As God spoke through Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 29:11 to the exiles in Babylon, he's speaking to us tonight. He's saying tonight that he knows the plans he has for you, to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Is that good news here tonight? God's got wonderful plans for your life. God has got a destiny for you. God has got a purpose for your life. You're not on this earth by mistake. You're not on this earth by accident. You're here with a God-given divine end, destiny, and purpose. But if you keep living in the past, you can't go forward with the greater thing that God has for you. If you keep looking in the rearview mirror of your life, you won't go forward successfully. Your life is like an automobile. Let me say it again. If you keep looking in the rearview mirror of your life, you will not go forward successfully with the good thing God has for you. So, therefore, you must forgive yourself. You must forgive yourself. Say it with me tonight. I must forgive myself. In Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean to forgive yourself? Forgiving yourself involves releasing yourself of regrets, of the I would've's, I should've's, I could've's. That's what forgiving yourself includes. Releasing yourself of past regrets. Forgiving yourself also includes releasing yourself of self-punishment. releasing yourself of self-punishment. When I say self-punishment, what does that mean? Self-punishment is this. For instance, say last year you badly abused a person of the opposite sex, verbally, emotionally, and you abused that person, and so today you might be thinking to yourself, man, I abused that lady so badly and she left me. There is no way any other woman any day would want to marry me. That's self-punishment. But when you forgive yourself, you release yourself of that self-punishment. Now let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Let's see what Paul the Apostle writes. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Philippians 3, verses 13 through 14. He writes this. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul the Apostle writes, I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead. He forgot his past life of regrets. If there's anyone who had reason to have regrets, it was Paul the Apostle, who was once Saul. Turn to Acts chapter 9. I'll give you here the for instance. Acts chapter 9. If there was anyone who could have lived with regret, if there was anyone who could have beat up on himself, it was Paul the Apostle, who was once Saul. Acts chapter 9, verse 1, verses 1 through 7. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. Verse 7. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Skip down to verse 17. Ananias went to the house of an eunuch, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And if you read early in Acts chapter 8, Paul was giving approval to the death of Stephen. He was a persecutor of Christians, breathing out murderous threats against them. Then we go to Acts chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 20. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Isn't that awesome? He had a tremendous conversion experience with Jesus Christ. He began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. He won so many Gentiles to Christ. He established so many churches in Asia Minor. God had a wonderful plan. He had a destiny. He had a purpose for Paul's life. It was to preach the gospel and establish churches. But if Paul had lived in the past, living in a world of regret, imprisoning himself in the past, I don't think he would have gone forward with the greater thing God had for his life. He was converted in Acts chapter 9, and he went then preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? And God can do the same with you. God has got a plan. He's got a destiny. He's got a purpose for your life. Whether it be sharing the gospel one-on-one or on a pulpit, whatever it might be, teaching the word of God, the ministry of helps here at the shelter, sharing coffee with somebody on the street. God has got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a destiny for you like he had for Paul the Apostle. But you can't live in the past. Say it with me tonight. I am going to stop living in the past. And I'm going to go forward with the greater thing that God has got for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So friends, you've got to forgive yourself. Get out of that cage of regrets, out of that prison of the past. And you might be asking tonight, well, Jonathan, how do I forgive myself? How do I go about forgiving myself? Number one, you've got to pray for God's grace and strength to be able to forgive yourself. It's tough to forgive ourselves of the offenses we've committed against others. But if you need help, cry out to God. And I guarantee that if you cry out to God saying, God, I'm weak in myself. God, my mind keeps going to the past. But God, I pray that you give me your strength and your grace to forgive myself. I'm here to tell you tonight, I guarantee you God will answer your prayer. As you're walking around the shelter, walking around the streets of downtown Tulsa, getting your food, you could be praying to God, God, this is tough, but at the beginning of 2016, I want to start forgiving myself of the offenses I've committed against others, the wrongs I've done in 2015, and God will give you the strength to forgive yourself. Is that good news here tonight? So you got to pray. To forgive yourself, you've got to pray for God's grace. Number two, you've got to start quoting God's word to yourself. In order to quote God's word to yourself, this word has got to be on the inside of you. You can quote to yourself, therefore, there is now no condemnation for myself who is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. You've got to start speaking God's word over your life on a continual basis. Amen? We're starting with a clean slate in 2016. But friends, you've got to be in this word. You know, it's not enough to get into the word just at Easter and during Christmas. You've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis, 7 days a week, not just once in a while. Consistently, you have got to be in God's Word. That's got to be one of your goals for 2016, is to be meditating, reading, studying the Word of God consistently. Say it with me tonight. I will start getting into God's Word on a consistent basis, in Jesus' name, amen. So to forgive yourself, you pray to God, you cry out to God, God, give me your grace and your strength for me to forgive myself. Number two, start quoting God's word, the word that you're reading and meditating upon. Number three, important, start seeing yourself as God does. How does God see you? God sees you as forgiven when you confess those sins. Start seeing yourself the way God the Father sees you. All the sins you committed up until the day you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord were forgiven and forgotten by God. They were thrown into a sea of forgetfulness. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God clothed you with a robe of righteousness. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's go back to that passage we were reading. Verses 8 and 9. Back up to verse 7. Philippians 3, 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, God put on you a robe of righteousness. All the sins you committed up until the day that you accepted Jesus as Savior were forgiven and forgotten by God. They were under the blood of Jesus. Is that making sense here tonight? God forgave you of those sins. God forgot those sins, those offenses that you committed. Is that making sense here tonight? They were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Now, after accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to live another 10, 20, 30, or 40 years, right, on this earth. You've got to follow Christ during those years. And during those years that you live after accepting Christ, you're going to mess up at times. Sin is going to want to pop its ugly head in your life. You may get weak at times, and you may slip back into those sins, whatever those sins might be. But when you slip into that sin, what do? You confess those sins to God, and He is faithful and just and will forgive you of all unrighteousness. Amen? See, when you sin and you confess that sin, the blood of Jesus covers it, and God forgives it. The blood of Jesus covers you. When you sin, maybe you're gonna get upset with somebody in the coming days or in the coming weeks, and you might really hurt somebody, or you might slip back into the cigarettes or the drugs or maybe the drinking or whatever it might be. You might tell a lie, or you might do something to your boss that's not right. You know, you may slip into a sin in the coming days and weeks. Well, when you sin, just confess it to God, and He is faithful and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You will be clothed with the blood of Jesus. You know, you're a person of authority with the blood of Jesus over you. You know, when the devil looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus on you. He doesn't want you to know that he sees that, but he sees the blood of Jesus on you. He sees you as a person of authority with the blood of Jesus from the top of your head to the very soles of your feet. You've got authority in Jesus' name. Amen? And when he tries to bring up your past, who brings up your past? Who tries to condemn you? Who tries to put that guilt trip on you? It's not God. It's the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. He is the accuser of the brethren. So if you've messed up and you've asked God for forgiveness and God has forgiven you, and you mess up again and you confess it to God and He forgives you, guess what? The blood of Jesus is right over there covering you. When God looks at you, He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your mess ups. He doesn't see the bad things you've done in the past. He sees His Son, Jesus. He sees you as justified. Like a minister once said, when you think of the word justified, think of this: just as if I had never sinned. Say it with me tonight: justified. Justified. With Jesus, I am justified. Just as if I had never sinned. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, with God in your life, with Jesus in your heart, with the blood of Jesus on you, you are a person of authority. When the devil tries to bring up your past and the lie that you said and the things you did wrong, you speak the word of God to him. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new is come. And as you speak the word of God with the authority you have on your life from God, guess what? The devil will flee from you. Is that good news here tonight? I'm going to read you a quick illustration here from the preacher's source book of creative sermon illustrations. Listen to this. In Decision magazine, Mark Strand tells of an experience that occurred following his first year of college. His dad and mom had left for vacation, and Mark wrecked their pickup truck, crumpling the passenger side door. Returning home, he parked the truck. When his dad returned home and saw the damage, Mark acted surprised and denied any knowledge of the accident. Mr. Strand then asked the hired man about it, and to Mark's delight, the man admitted he was responsible. He had heard a loud noise while passing the truck with the wings of the cultivator up, and now he assumed he had caused the damage. But the weeks that followed were torturous as Mike struggled with his guilty conscience. He repeatedly considered telling the truth, but was afraid. Finally, one day, he impulsively blurted it out. Dad, there's something I need to tell you. Yes. You know that pickup door? I was the one who did it. Dad looked at me. I looked back at him. For the first time in weeks, I was able to look at him in the eyes as the topic was broached. To my utter disbelief, Dad calmly replied, I know. Silent seconds, which seemed like hours, passed. Then Dad said, let's go eat. He put his arm around my shoulder, and we walked to the house, not saying another word about it, not then, not ever. This father, this dad, forgave his son and never mentioned it again. And the son felt forgiven by the dad. And because he felt forgiven by the dad, he forgave himself and went on with his life. Your dad, God the Father, forgives you. Start seeing yourself as God sees you, as forgiven. When you commit a sin, when you slip back into that sin that you're trying to overcome, confess it to God. Say, God, I can't do this on my own. Give me your grace to overcome this sin. Confess it to God, and he will forgive you. Start seeing yourself as God sees you, as forgiven. See that sin as forgiven. Start forgetting that sin, that past regret. Don't stay in a prison cell of the past. God has got something wonderful for you. You're not a mistake on this earth. You're not an accident going somewhere to happen. You're on this earth with a purpose. You're not a spare part in this world. You're not a spare part in the kingdom of God. It's not in God's plan for you to just sit all day at this place and just sit and twiddle your thumbs. God has got something great for you. Amen? You can start hitting the streets of downtown Tulsa and sharing the love of God with people out there, saying, you know what? God loves you, and I believe in you. You need lunch? I'll buy you lunch. Working here, like I said earlier, in the shelter, helping pick up chairs, putting chairs down, or helping serve food. There's something God has got for you to do. God has got wonderful human relationships, good, strong Christian relationships in store for you in the coming days, weeks, and months. But if you see yourself as so low that you can do a push-up under a penny, guess what? You'll never go forward with the greater thing God has got for your life. As I said earlier, if anybody had room for regret, it was Paul the Apostle, once Saul, the persecutor of Christians. But he went on with God's greater call. He converted his life. He was converted over to Jesus Christ and preached the gospel without stopping. Is that good news? God is no respecter of persons. If he was able to do it in Paul's life, he can do it in your life and mine. Amen? Amen. Forgiving yourself starting in 2016. How do we do that? Number one, by praying to God, asking God for his grace. Number two, confessing the word of God over yourself on a daily basis. Number three, seeing yourself as God sees you, forgiven. Amen?